everybody, and welcome to episode 115 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by the man who is tucked away safely in the NBA bubble, Brian. Brian, how the hell are you this week, my friend?
I've had ups, I've had downs, I've zigged, I've zagged, but ultimately, and this is the thing that makes me feel so connected, is that I always come back to you.
Oh, that makes me feel special. I hope you know that.
You are special.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Anything before we get into it, or should we just really start off with drink of the week?
Go to the drink of the week.
All right.
Drink of the week.
Nazdrovia.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Slanche.
Who's? Drink of the week. Drink of the week.
All right,
drink
Brian, what week. Are you bringing to the table for this week's drink?
Ron, earlier this week, New York City hit its very first heat wave of the year. Heat wave defined as three consecutive days above 90 degrees. And when New York gets hot, my liver gets thirsty. And that can only mean one thing, and that is the embrace of the official summer drink of Brian. It is the gin and tonic. Personally, I like to go with Bombay Sapphire or Sapphire Bombay, depending on how drunk I am. And last year, if I remember correctly, I took a lot of heat from you because I was using lime juice, not using actual real limes because I'm not bougie. But this week, if you can look closely, you will see not one,
all right,
but two wedges.
Nice.
Cheers.
Salute. Drink it up, my friend. I'm trying.
Oh, that is way too strong.
A little heavy on the gin. All right, it'll be a fun second half of the podcast, as always. So this time, you know, I like to go with my beer, and this is actually one from our good friends at Tavor, who we haven't mentioned in a while. But
fuck Tavor.
This is from Modest Brewing Company out in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's called First Call. It is a cold press coffee lager. So 6.5% alcohol, but with the kick of caffeine afterwards. So let's take a little sip here, see how this is.
Now, personally, I'm gonna throw some complaints about Tavor out there. But first, I want to know, how is your beer?
It's not bad. It's a lager, and it's got a little bit of a coffee flavor to it. What I did do is I decided to mix it up a little bit. So this is a chilled shot of cold brew Jameson. Got a bottle from a very good friend of mine. So I figured I would do a little shot of the cold brew Jameson to go with the cold brew lager. Let's see how this is.
Shot.
Jameson.
That is good shit. That is good, smooth. So good. By the way, I'd like to go on record to everybody that is watching this live on YouTube and over on our Twitch channel. When Ron has, when Ron does hard liquor during the podcast, he always makes sure that our After Dark episode, which you can listen to only on Patreon, is extra special.
That's what we hope for. And we gave it to you free last week, but After Dark goes behind the paywall again. If you want to become a patron, go to ronandbrianpodcast.com. You'll see the link in the upper right-hand corner. In the meantime, we've had to branch out, find other ways to make money for the podcast. Yeah. So we have obviously been actively searching for sponsors. The first couple of weeks have been tough. We had the Goya incident 2 weeks ago. We had the Department of Homeland Security fiasco last week. Again, we weren't able to connect prior to tonight, but you mentioned that you have what you feel is a hands-down home run. You said 999. I wasn't quite sure what that meant, but tell us who our sponsor is this week.
Can I just go right to the read? Because they were very explicit in their instructions that we were not to riff or improvise whatsoever in the read.
Okay, go right to it. I mean, if
you have your permission,
clears that we can do whatever they want.
Well, I'm going to start. Well, first off, if they're paying $999, we will take their sponsor money. Correct?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Go for it. All right. This is somebody that I see. This could be a sponsor for a long time. I think this one's got legs.
All right.
So it's a motivational speaker. And you and I both know how important it is to have a celebrity motivational speaker for your event. But let me go into the read now. I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to put my radio voice on.
Yeah, go ahead. I love your radio voice. It's been 20-some years since I've heard it.
Actually, it was just a little over 2.5 years ago, my friend.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. All right. Go for it.
Yeah. Are you throwing an upcoming event you feel is missing something? Has your boss said you need the right motivational speaker for this year's sales conference? Is your parents' 50th anniversary party looking a little light on entertainment? Do you fear your daughter's bat mitzvah is lacking the star power to be the talked about event of the Long Island Jewish Confirmation Summer 2020? Well, we at the Ron and Brian podcast have just the thing for you. What if I told you that you could have as a guest or speaker the chairman of the Federal Reserve of Kansas City, Omaha branch from 1989 to 1991? Or if this is the same person who had a successful stint as a business executive at Burger King, prompting Pillsbury to appoint him as the chairman and CEO of the fifth largest fast Italian casual dining food chain in the United States in 1990. Do I have your attention? Well, I'm not done. I'm not done yet. What if I told you that this person is the co-chairman of the Black Voices for Trump 2020 campaign? That's right, folks. Herman Cain. Herman Cain, recently off his successful Tulsa, Oklahoma run of his one-man show, Cain, You Taste the Freedom, is now available for all speaking engagements as well as celebrity appearances.
Ryan.
I know, Ron. This is too good to be true. What?
Ryan, what? I need to cut you short right there. I take it you were not keeping an eye on the on the news earlier today.
No. Unlike you, Ron, who is underemployed, I have a longstanding job that keeps me busy from the hours of 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. So unlike you, I was not able to sit at home and just study the news scroll. But certainly that can't be my fault.
Apparently you didn't realize that Herman Cain passed away today at the age of 74 from complications from COVID, which he may or may not have picked up at the Trump Tulsa rally. So I feel like he's not going to be doing much speaking, motivational or otherwise, anytime soon. In fact, we'll be covering him more in celebrity obituaries later in the hour.
Are you telling me Herman Cain, the guy I was negotiating with for the past 6 days, is dead?
Yes. Did you cash the check yet? That's what's most important.
They were going to send the check after this episode.
All right. I feel like his accounts may be frozen now.
Just like his body, right?
That ain't right. Well, I am sad for you, Brian, because it wouldn't have been a bad sponsor, but hopefully next week you can get a sponsor that stays alive. In the meantime, let's move it over into this week in racism.
Racism.
Only one page this week, Brian. So we managed to keep it on just one page. Out in California, bunch of stuff from California this week. In Los Angeles, a woman blocked a black delivery man wearing a mask from entering her building. Jordan Gibson is a Postmates delivery man, and he videotaped the woman as she denied him entry, even after he called the resident he was delivering to through the building's call box. In Santa Barbara, a woman called the cops on a Latino man after she hit his car and he asked her to provide insurance. She stated that she was afraid of him because he looked, quote, a certain way. And then in Los Altos, a white woman was caught on video shouting racial slurs at an Asian American post office employee. A customer filmed the woman as she went on her tirade while another called the police on her. So three stories from California. Very proud of you all out there in California.
I thought California was left wing.
You would think so, but we always seem to get a bunch of racism from California.
Really?
Yeah.
California, what's up?
Now, Minnesota, you would expect racism from Minnesota, and here we are. A couple was caught on video tearing down a Black Lives Matter sign and tossing it into a ditch. They were later identified as Tom and Linda Bergerson from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Primarily, they were identified because they were driving Linda's Mary Kay Cosmetics car. Mary Kay later put out a statement that they would be cutting ties with Bergerson. Going down now to Sefner, Florida, a man has been charged with detaining a Black teenager who had been biking to an early morning basketball practice. Luis Orlando Santos Santiago stopped the boy and called 911, telling a dispatcher that he was an off-duty officer and that he had seen the boy trying to break into cars. None of his allegations turned out to be true, and the police also found that he wasn't an off-duty officer, but a former security guard. He has since been arrested and charged with false imprisonment. Now we've
got about right.
Some great racism in the political arena in Alabama. Sure, I know to have a little racism there in Alabama. State Representative Will Dismukes is under scrutiny after attending an event at Fort Dixie where he gave an invocation for Nathan Bedford Forrest's annual birthday celebration. If you are not aware of Nathan Bedford Forrest, prior to the Civil War, he sold men, women, and children before leading Confederate soldiers in the massacre of 300 Black soldiers during the Battle of Fort Pillow. Forrest later joined the KKK and became one of its most prominent early leaders. The Alabama Democratic Party has called for Dismukes to resign, and even members of his own party questioned his attendance at the event. This is actually the second time this year the Alabama Democratic Party has asked him to resign. The first time was earlier this year when he was acting pastor at an event for the Sons of the Confederacy. Dismukes has resigned as pastor of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, but hasn't commented on what he will do regarding his political office. In Georgia, Republican Senator David Perdue has taken down a digital campaign featuring a manipulated image of his Jewish opponent, John Ossoff, with an enlarged nose. The Facebook ad showed Ossoff next to Senate Democrat leader Chuck Schumer. Purdue's campaign claims that an outside vendor created the ad and that the image was accidental. And then finally, in South Carolina, Lindsey Graham, that paragon of virtue, his campaign posted a Facebook ad featuring a digitally altered picture of his Black opponent with a darker skin tone. The campaign ad, uploaded to Graham's Facebook page on July 23rd, includes a picture of his Senate opponent, Jamie Harrison, that had originally been posted in the New York Times. Graham's campaign did not apologize for the ad, calling it, quote, a non-story.
Really? That's a non-story?
Apparently, it's just the fake media trying to create controversy where none shall exist.
Okay.
That's all I got.
And no audio clips?
No good audio clips this week. It was
no video clips?
No good video clips this week. It was a little bit of a lighter week of racism. I mean, it was still out there, but the recording that people were doing, it was not as good.
Would you say that racism is on the decline in America for the week of ending July 30th, 2020?
I would not say that in any way.
Would you say that due to the untimely death of Herman Cain, that racists decided to take the week off?
No, I would not say that either.
Interesting. Okay.
I will say it's time for Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
All right, Brian, what's bothering you this week, buddy?
Nope. Not going to do it.
What are you not going to do? Do you want me to go first this week?
Yeah.
All right. So I will give you my beef of the week, and I would like you to tell me if this is a legitimate beef or not. Because, you know, this is, you're someone with the antibodies. You were someone that has lived through seeing forklifts and refrigerated bodies. So I feel you have a level of sensitivity that other people may not have. So tell me if I'm in the wrong here, because I'm willing to accept that. So I had a dentist appointment earlier this week, had to go for, 6 month cleaning, all that good stuff. Thankfully, the dentist's office are open back up here in Pennsylvania. Roll out there, go in there. And, they've got the plexiglass, the social distance chairs, whole nine yards. They have a sign also as you walk in that explains that due to the heightened level of cleanliness and everything else, and the additional PPE that the office is now going through, that they are now charging each individual an additional $20 per visit to cover their PPE. And this somewhat rubbed me the wrong way. One, that's kind of an expense for you to do business. And two, it seemed like a lot of money per person for PPE, when really they're using a similar amount. Like the receptionist wore PPE, which she normally did not, but the people doing the cleanings and the work and all that seemed to be wearing the same PPE that they were wearing previously. So that was part one of my dentist beef. Reasonable? You tell me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. You're not the first person to have brought this to my attention. I've had a couple employees over the past week come to say that they were outraged by their dentist doing this. Both stories were dentists, which is what I find interesting. They weren't chiropractors, proctologists, gynecologists, dermatologists, ophthalmologists.
I forget it. There's a lot of doctors out there, but it was only dentists that you heard about.
I think $20 seems like a random fucking number. And I have to believe that on an on a customer basis, they're making a profit off that.
You would think so. You would really, really think so. I know like PPE can be tough to come by, but especially when you're buying it in bulk through a distributor like the dentist's office do, I would think you're getting a fairly decent price on it.
Ron, if you play your cards right, you can get my PP anytime you want.
And then the second part of this beef, if I may, real quick, is all right.
Oh, two for Tuesday?
It's connected to the same dentist office visit. So again, they're charging $20 a person for this PPE. Now, I had called about a week or so prior to my visit because I'm on a new insurance plan and I needed to see if they accepted the insurance. They said, we don't accept that insurance. We will charge you X amount of dollars and we'll submit it to your insurance company and you'll get reimbursed at whatever their out-of-network percentage is. I was like, fine, like this dentist, I've had this appointment for a while, why not? So they obviously were doing this $20 charge at that time also. So why is it you would tell me what the cost was, but not even mention, oh, by the way, this is your cost plus the $20 that we're charging everybody that comes in the office?
I'll tell you something.
Okay. Tell me something.
I find the healthcare system in America utterly broken. So
what?
I know. The fact that you have providers that are passing along costs with a ridiculous markup, I think should at this point be something that you should come to expect when you seek any type of medical care within the system. I do feel it's a little tone deaf that you are complaining about a $20 PPE charge. You're complaining about your new dental insurance. Meanwhile, this is the same week that Congress is going to allow the extra supplemental unemployment benefits of $600 to expire, in the same week that the eviction holds across the country are set to lapse, allowing now suddenly people who were fired, I guess is the right term.
I was going to bitch about that later, but yes.
Laid off. What's the term you would use for yourself? I mean, you are part of that group.
Yeah, I mean, I was laid off. I was, you know, downsized, underemployed, whichever term you want to use.
Well, I've used quite a few terms. Pretty much every podcast, Zoom.
Yes, you have pretty much nailed all of them. But yeah. Regardless, we'll get into the unemployment thing later. But Brian, I go back to you now. What is your beef of the week? And I'm not used to you being kind of cowardly or scared or things like that. Why are you concerned about bringing your beef to the table this week?
Because it's the same beef I had a year ago.
Is it the heat? No. Then I don't know. Is it the humidity?
No.
Is it the way your balls stick to your thighs when in weather like this?
Oh my God! Do you find that they stick to the left or the right more often?
More to the right.
Same here.
Yeah, it's just genetic.
Same here.
Well, then my issue. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Okay, my issue is this. We're gonna time travel back to 2016, a happier time, the time where we were more comfortable hugging each other.
Okay.
Shaking hands, making eye contact, and not wearing masks, and loving and feeling, and apparently accumulating credit card debt that we were not planning on paying back.
Apparently, there are people out there that do that. They do that in marriages where perhaps one of the people in the marriage doesn't understand how much credit card debt the other person in the marriage is racking up.
Would you like to continue? Because I clearly feel like I have sparked a memory inside that cabeza of yours, and you are now remembering where we were 1 year ago.
I feel it was around this time last year when your ex-wife number two had saddled both of you with her credit card debt, thanks to the laws of this great country, and your entire income tax refund was garnished by the federal government to help pay off her credit card debt. I mm-hmm. do remember that now. You were very salty back then. But I would think that probably cleared the whole thing up, so you can just move forward and just live life. Live, love.
Of course, right?
That's what you do.
So this year, like most Americans, I did not do my taxes in April when the deadline was coming because, as you do remember, I was stricken with the COVID-19 virus. I was not in any physical, mental, emotional state to deal with looking at taxes and W-2s and 1099s and dividend statements.
You were laid up. It was a lot for you. Yep. Just to wake up each day and battle the virus.
I was watching a lot of Pornhub. So I wasn't completely out of the norm, but I just couldn't handle taxes.
Right.
The point being now is I did my taxes for the July 15th deadline.
Okay.
Did them overnight, sent it off. Federal, state, both said to me, hey, we're going to give you a refund. The federal government, the good old IRS said, Brian, you're going to get $1,500 back. I said, ooh. Then New York State sat there and said, you know what, Brian? You're going to get a state refund of $600.
Mm.
And what do you think happened today?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that perhaps you did not get all that was coming to you.
Those motherfuckers. Those fuckers.
You can't escape death and taxes, Brian. You can't escape them. The tax man will hunt you down.
The fucking IRS took $1,000 out of my refund, and I got a letter today in the mail from the state basically saying, thanks, but no thanks. We're keeping it all.
Oh, so wait. So I knew about the $1,000. You had mentioned that earlier this week. So on top of the $1,000 that was garnished from your federal tax return, they also
delivered in the mail today. You can see it right here. The New York State Taxation and Finance Department. Hold on. It's right. The wrong finger. Right there. This basically said, dear Brian, fuck you.
Wow. So, I mean, is this done now? Is this paid?
I don't know. That means I'm going to have to call the IRS during a pandemic and hopefully get some level of customer service that's going to going to sit there and say to me, well, this is your debt. We took this last year and we took this year. Then I have to call New York State and they're going to sit there and say, first of all, I know for a fact I'm going to get somebody from bumfuck upstate New York, maybe Schenectady, Saratoga, Cuyuna, Niskayuna. What are the other towns up there?
Cahoes, Troy, Cooksackie. You know, those upstate New York.
God, I love it when you throw out names of upstate Cahoes. Holy shit, I've forgotten about that.
Utica. So
I'm going to get someone up there with a lip full of skull spitting into like an empty Budweiser can, and they're going to explain to me what my tax debt is.
Again, and I know that you are very much against confrontation, but have you had any conversation with ex-wife number two to let her know that you are going through this because of her?
Yes, yes.
And what did she say to that?
When I get the money, I'll pay you back.
And so she's, I assume she's not working.
Hold on, she's calling me. Nope, maybe not.
Do you feel you have any chance to see any of that money back?
Nope.
We've told the joke before. The reason that divorce is so expensive is because it's worth it. But I have yet to see someone pay out that didn't owe alimony or child support or anything like that to pay out for many, many years. And what was funny is I remember when you were doing the divorce and she didn't contest it and like the time was running up and you were like, you know what? I'm going to be free and clear of this. And then, eesh, didn't quite happen. So I feel for you, my friend, and I hope this is the end of garnishment for you.
Just to put into perspective the amount of money that we're talking here, we're not talking about six figures. This isn't a ridiculous sum. But at the beginning of this pandemic, during a period of time when they were using forklifts at Elmhurst Hospital, literally two towns over from me in this direction.
Right. Over that way.
That way. They were using forklifts to literally relocate corpses into refrigerated trucks. The federal government sat there and said, we are going to take care of you, the American people. Here is $1,200. I have had $3,600 taken away from me in tax refunds by the federal and state government. I'm ready to take to the streets. If only there was some type of organized protest that I could join to get my anger out.
I mean, I don't know if the Brian's Refund Matters movement will catch on, but you might want to look into that.
That's my beef of the week, Ron.
Listen, and it is a very valid beef. I feel, again, your beefs always seem to make my beef seem trivial and small. Like I paid $20 for PPE this week. You lost $1,600 on your ex-wife.
Well, you paid $20 for PPE. I paid $1,500 because I got married.
And again, like it's not like the $900 you would spend at a strip club. Like you at least get some titillation, you get some naked breasts in your face, you get some time in the champagne room. I assume you got champagne room time for the $900. No, $900 was without the champagne room whatsoever.
$20 dances.
What? Wait, hold on. Let me do some math here. So you got 45 dances, is what you're telling me at the strip club.
Over the course of the evening, and it was a dance that would go for more than one song. So I would get a dance for like four or five songs, and this was a Manhattan nightclub. So the songs were probably about 45 seconds each. But I did not realize the scam that was going on.
That's why you don't two times I don't drink heavily when I'm gambling and when I'm at a strip club because the only reason I go downhill quickly.
The only reason I got talked into the strip club was because I had been drinking heavily. Under normal circumstances, I would have had the wherewithal to say, I don't like strip clubs. It's a waste of your money. All you do is look, you get frustrated. I could easily go into my bedroom, pick up my iPad, and literally, you know, 7 minutes later, and that's start to finish, including cleanup, I could be absolutely done, $0 out of pocket, or I could go to a strip club and spend a few hundred. But you fill me up with some scotch, and suddenly, good old Brian's making some bad decisions.
Well, I hope you have learned. I mean, you haven't. I mean, are they? Will strip clubs even become a thing anymore?
I believe they still are a thing. There was a strip club out in Long Island that got shut down for being open, having strippers using poles without disinfecting between dances, and giving lap dances.
No, I thought you were using your hand. I thought you were gonna. They were given like hand release.
I would imagine. I mean,
now that would be worth $900. All I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know if I'm smooth enough to like make that transition in a conversation in a strip club. Really? Like, I think if the girl, I'm not smooth whatsoever. Like, I think that if the girl's like, so, are you happy? Or, you know, are you getting everything you want? I would be like, yeah, this is good. This is very nice. I appreciate this. Like,
right.
I don't think I would pick up on those subtle cues.
Fair enough. So what's been going on this week, Brian? It seems like much like every other week for the last like 5 months, we can't escape the coronavirus yet again.
But we crossed a very important line this week.
Is that the 150,000 death mark?
Well, of course.
Ding, 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 ding.
150,000 Americans have died since the middle of March. And somehow we have a president in the White House who is sitting there questioning in press conferences why he's not liked more.
That was interesting, where he wondered why Dr. Fauci is more popular than him. And maybe it's because Dr. Fauci is trying to prevent people from dying, and Trump kind of ignored the coronavirus for a couple months there because, you know, he liked the ratings he was getting for his COVID press conferences, and then stopped him for a couple.
And that's the outrageous part.
It is the outrageous part. What it's outrageous. I think even shows, and again, I mean, we know we have, we have a sociopath for a president. For the most part,
yes.
I think I go on a limit. But the fact that it also came out this week that President Trump announced that he was going to be throwing out the first pitch at the Yankees Red Sox game on August 15th,
mm-hmm.
when that never was set up. It caught the Yankees by surprise. It caught the Red Sox by surprise. It caught the entire White House by surprise. And the only reason he said it is because Dr. Fauci threw out the pitch at the Nationals-Yankees game. And, like, you and I were pissed off. Like, it's bad enough that Mo Rivera is there in the White House, you know, room when they're doing the press conference.
But say no, Mo.
We were like, why? Why are they letting President Trump? But then you find out that he just said it. He's like, oh, I'm going to throw out the pitch at the August 15th game.
In his defense, he had received an open invitation from Yankees president, general manager, head honcho dude, Randy Levine.
Okay.
Because Donald Trump loves the Jews.
Does he? That's true. The Jews he's fine with. It's the blacks he's got a tenuous relationship with.
I think Donald Trump is the biggest fan of whomever is in the room with him at that moment. And the second they walk out, he will badmouth them to whomever is still in the room.
Right.
But they said to him, hey, if you ever want to throw out the first pitch, you know, just let us know, you've got it.
Right.
So during a pandemic, when they are not allowing anyone, he decides, I'm going to go to New York, where I have basically abandoned because I relocated to my main home to Mar-a-Lago.
Mar-a-Lago.
Which is, I believe Mar-a-Lago is Portuguese for a steaming pile of dog shit.
White House.
White House South. He hasn't used that shit in a while. But what the fuck? The fact that the Yankees waited 24 hours before backing out, that's the part that I still find troubling.
Well, it probably was everybody, you know, everyone's working from home. So probably everyone's like, did you agree to have President Trump here? No, I didn't. Did you agree to have? So they probably had like, there probably was a process of like everyone like taking a look at it and being like, no, we never invited the president.
Is it wrong that I created a fake Brian Cashman account on Twitter and sent the invite?
No, not at all. It's glorious. Glorious. Who else got coronavirus this week, Brian?
The Texas senator, congressman.
Texas Congressman Louis Gohmert. I don't even know how you say it. Gohmert.
Hold on. Before you tell the story, fuck him.
So he was supposed to be traveling with President Trump to West Texas. They did one of those, I guess they have like a quick test that they can do. So he tested positive. He did the full test. He tested positive for COVID, asymptomatic. But now,
God bless,
wearing a mask might have given him the COVID.
What's the logic there?
I guess, you know, because he hadn't been wearing a mask and didn't get the COVID. And then he wore a mask for a few days and got the COVID. So clearly there must be, you know, a correlation, causation, the whole nine yards. But what was amazing to me is after he tested positive for the coronavirus, he physically went to his Senate office to tell everyone in his office that he tested positive.
Was he wearing a mask at the time?
I don't know. I just don't know.
Can I tell you what bothers me the most right now?
What's that?
Is that odds are he's not going to die. And that in a month, he is going to join the elite group of people that can claim that they have the COVID antibodies flowing through their body, giving them lifetime immunity to basically do whatever the fuck they want during a global pandemic.
Well, we don't know if it's lifetime immunity. We don't know.
Oh, no, it's lifetime.
How long this is going to last. Now, what was interesting to me earlier,
I watched a video on Breitbart last week, and it was a bunch of doctors standing outside the what looked like a state legislature. I didn't recognize the building. The doctors weren't wearing any name tags, so I couldn't really identify who they were. But I hired these doctors, and when I called them doctors, I found them on Craigslist, and they stood up there in front of a podium that was made of basically the thinnest of particle board. And they announced that in testing and test trials that they determined that the COVID antibodies originating from the New York City area during infections that took place in the middle of March, you are guaranteed to have lifetime immunity from the coronavirus and that you could basically travel all of America, if not the world, without any type of interruptions to your life. You are safe as can be.
Are these the same doctors that claimed that most women's gynecological problems are caused by aliens and demon sperm?
That was Act Two. I wrote the text for Act One. they said, listen, do you mind if we do a little improv in the second half? And I said, yeah, just roll with it. Let us know what feels natural. Mm-hmm. And we'll go with it.
All right. What came out this past week, which I think was also kind of frightening, was that there was a new CDC report that showed that one third of the individuals that contract coronavirus never recover from some of their symptoms, especially those in the 18 to 34 age range. You know, one in five were unable to return to their usual state of health. People, you know, the smell and taste thing seems to be a big one that never comes back for people. Constant runny nose, headaches, fatigue seems to be a big thing. So this is, you know, we talk about, I know you're struggling through just getting through the day. But this is, we talk about, you know, people saying, oh, well, people just get the coronavirus and they recover from it. But now we're seeing, you know, that there's going to be a substantial amount of people that don't recover fully from it, that have respiratory issues, brain issues, health issues that just don't go away. And again, they may go away at some point, but these are people that have recovered, you know, 3 to 4 months ago and are still experiencing some of the symptoms that they did when they were positive for COVID.
if I can have like a actual serious moment.
Can you?
Yes.
All right, do it.
Your wife forwarded me a social media group of COVID survivors. And I joined the group because I felt that I could share some of my wisdom from having survived this potentially deadly virus. And I'll tell you something. I genuinely feel like it was an eye-opening moment reading some of the stories that other people who are currently suffering or have suffered. Shit, I had this easy. I had this super easy. There were so many different things that could have gone wrong. There's so many different ways that this virus can affect your body. And, you know, I lost over 10 pounds of my body weight mass in 3 weeks. I was traumatized because I asked my podcast partner, if you can take that down now, because I'm not being serious anymore.
Right.
I asked my podcast partner if we could take a break because I was so weak from recording the podcast and was told, no, we do the podcast weekly. Get your shit over to the computer table. We're doing a podcast.
Listen, I told you to put your big boy panties on. It's an hour and a half. And, you know, I let you slide for the Patreon. And
we skipped a couple Patreons.
You should be thankful for the Patreon subscribers that they were okay with you skipping like 3 weeks.
They weren't actually okay. I just deleted the complaints before you had a chance to see them.
All right, that's fair.
But there's some really fucked up symptoms that people are having and having for months after diagnosis.
Yeah.
And I literally was fine after within a month.
Listen, the one good thing, you know, we've got sports back. NBA starts up again today. Major League Baseball moving along without any complications whatsoever. It's just
sure about that.
Was there an issue this week at all?
The Miami Marlins.
Oh, right. Does that even count as a professional baseball team at this point?
Yeah, of course they. I think it does. No.
Yeah, barely. Barely.
Well, yeah, not good.
They had four players
not good at all
for coronavirus on Sunday, and then another seven players and two coaches on Monday.
And do we know why?
Well, I don't. I mean, someone
I can tell clearly, you the theory.
All right, go for it.
I'll tell you the working theory was that the days before the Marlins traveled to Philadelphia to start the season, they played some practice games in Atlanta, and apparently a group of them went out on a night on the town in Atlanta. Now, if you can, I mean, no offense, and I know I come off insensitive and cold.
Only like 90% of the time.
How fucking stupid can you be to sit there in Atlanta, Georgia? Well, Georgia being one of the worst states in America right now for the coronavirus exposures, infection rates, whatever the phrase you want to call it, that you're going to tell me that these fucking idiots said to themselves, yes, you want to know something? Instead of staying inside and remaining safe, you know what we're going to do? Let's fucking go out to a bar, get drunk, and pick up some strange loose women or men. Okay. You know, I do understand what
the proclivity is.
There's anything wrong with that. And this is the part that really offended me was the fact that the Friday of, I think it was the weekend, two players on the Marlins tested positive. And the Marlins was – it was Saturday. Saturday morning, the Friday tests, the results came in.
Right.
And I think two players on the Marlins tested positive. And the Marlins clubhouse voted whether they should continue playing the series with the Phillies. And they voted to continue to play. And they never mentioned it once to the Phillies organization.
Correct. Not until the following day. But then both teams apparently played their Sunday game, both teams knowing what happened with the Marlins.
Yes. Saturday didn't tell them after the fact.
And now that ended up with the postponement of Marlins against the Orioles at Marlins Park. And it also postponed the Yankees versus the Phillies at Citizens Bank Park here in Philadelphia. As of tonight, the Philadelphia Phillies announced that two staff members have tested positive for coronavirus. So they have postponed home games indefinitely at this point until they can you know, clear things up and make sure that they have a safe environment there for people to play games.
And somehow we're making the argument that we should have classrooms filled with 30 children a month from now. You can't even play a fucking baseball game without people getting sick.
Listen, Brian, just because Major League Baseball, with all of its resources and wealth and millions of dollars, just because they can't keep their players safe, doesn't mean that an underfunded education system can't keep kids safe when they're going to schools.
Oh, it's just so heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to watch.
What really gets me about the whole school thing is I see both sides of the argument. I see people that are like, I need to keep my kids at home. But I also see a number of my friends on Facebook that are like, listen, just send kids back to school. There is a risk, but send kids back to school. What I don't get is, all right, I get it. Like the younger kids, maybe there's a 1% mortality rate for kids. I don't know if that's the number, but it's obviously lower than other populations out there. But if you are a parent, what is worth a 1% chance that your kid is going to die? Like, it'd be one thing if someone's came to you and said, you know what? Your child will be financially set for the rest of their life, but there's a 1% chance they might die.
Right.
That's one thing. Maybe you take that risk. But here's the thing. We're going to bring your kid back to school with a 1% chance that they may die, with a higher percent chance that maybe a teacher of theirs dies, or a chance that they bring the disease home and you get it, or you get it and end up being asymptomatic and you give it to maybe your elderly parents, or you give it to somebody with a compromised immune system or whatever. Like, I don't have kids, so I don't know, you know, if parents are fine with rolling the dice, but
you don't have any kids that you know of
that I know of. But again, there are so many things out there that are a risk for kids. I mean, yes, you can walk out the front door right now and get hit by a bus, but this is something that you have control over to an extent. And people are like, well, we got to open these schools up. And we got
to. Have you been monitoring the group chat?
What's that?
Have you been monitoring the group chat?
I'm monitoring the group chat, yes.
Because we have listener QNZ323, who I believe obtained their medical license from the, I don't know where, but they're saying children cannot catch COVID. And then backed it up by saying that the children do not have the receptors, which means that I guess under 18, nobody has ever gotten COVID.
I know there was a 9-year-old in Florida that died from COVID complications. There was a 12-year-old that died. There are infants that have gotten it and have, you know, survived, but have long-term medical disabilities now. Again, there is still so much we don't seem to know about this disease. I mean, again, we just found out this article this past week from the CDC that a third of the people, their symptoms never go away. So, you know, would you want to put your child at risk for that?
What we have going on in this country, and this is the world that Donald Trump inherited and made worse. He's not the originator of it. Please do not misunderstand what I'm saying. But we have a world where people seek out facts that reinforce what they already believe. And then they use these facts to pat themselves on the back to say, hey, look, I'm right. That's the problem.
Yes.
We have lost the institutional respect in experts. whether you want to say that it is Russian misinformation, whether you want to say it is lack of education in the South, whether you want to say that it is years of inbreeding by white people in Tennessee, West Virginia, Kentucky, Virginia, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Kansas, Wyoming, North Dakota.
Normally, South Dakota. I'll, but I'll let you go with this.
You know I was going to run out of states at some point, right?
I'm you know what? I'm shocked that you can name that many states.
Arizona, Oregon, Washington, California, Texas, Oklahoma.
I mean, shocking. The only
Missouri
be right now.
You know, I've only lived on this in this country for 48 years. You would think that I would have learned all 50 states by now. But it's the fact that people are going to sit there, and if you want to believe that children can catch COVID, can spread it amongst themselves, can bring it home to their parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, stepbrothers, stepsisters, cousins.
Okay, we get it. We get the family tree concept. Yes, thank you.
If you want to believe that they can, all you have to do is go online or listen to a podcast, and you're going to find information that is going to back up. No. I didn't mean that as a joke. I mean, literally,
I know.
You and I are just literally two people saying, these are our thoughts, and this is what we feel. You either agree with us, you don't agree with us, and I actually respect people that don't agree with us, just simply because I'm a masochist at heart. But if you want to find facts that say, no, children can't get COVID, they have better, they are more immune to this disease than Brian, even though Brian survived this most deadliest of plagues of the last century, because I have the COVID antibodies, literally, yeah. Flowing right through
your veins. I'm a little bit surprised you haven't gotten like a COVID antibody tattoo yet.
Well, it's not a bad idea. What do the antibodies look like?
I mean, I guess you can ask that the next time you go to donate.
I have an appointment to donate in, I believe, a week and a half.
So here's a question, and it was something we were discussing in the household here. What happens if you go back to donate your plasma and they say to you, you know what? You don't have the antibodies anymore.
I tell them that's fake news and I continue living my life. I'm like, no, I have the antibodies. I continue to travel. I refuse to wear a mask and, I go about my life.
There you go. You know, you had talked about, so what you're mentioning is something called selection bias, where a lot of people tend to only look for the,
we're going to use fancy words now,
where they only look for the information that supports their case. But, you know, it was interesting. You talked about the video earlier from the doctors, the Breitbart doctors, that talked about the effectiveness of hydroxychloroquine in treating patients. And, you know, there was another doctor that made a good point, is that, you know, they talked about this woman doctor, and again, aliens and demon sperm notwithstanding, you know, the fact of the matter is that she was treating outpatient COVID patients, which
right.
as a whole, you know, obviously if you're not in a hospital, if you're able to be treated on an outpatient basis, odds are you are going to survive COVID-19. So what she was doing is she was going just off of this circle of patients that she was treating and giving them the hydroxychloroquine, and they were recovering. But the fact of the matter is they probably would have recovered regardless, because she was treating these outpatient people who are going to survive anyway. You know, the guy said like he could have given them all milkshakes and they would have gotten better. It doesn't
mean would it have brought all the boys to the yard?
Hard to say. Very hard to say. Especially now. The boys should not be going to the yard. Got to keep that social distancing.
So
that's all I'm saying.
It's fucked. The whole thing is fucked.
Yes. Before we run out of time, we do need to say goodbye to some celebrities that departed us this week. Biggest one, obviously, Regis Philbin passing away at the ripe old age of what, 88, was he?
Yes, he was 88.
And he was one of those guys that you really, I think, can't picture dying.
Am I going to die?
What? I can't believe it. Always, everywhere. I'm still pissed off that he got forced off of Regis and Kathy Lee.
If the show wasn't the same once his wife left.
That was my jam in college. We would literally skip class to watch Regis and Kathy Lee.
Now, was it because of Kelly Ripa that you were watching, or?
I just said we watched Regis and Kathy Lee. So clearly Kathy Lee was there. It was even funnier when you found out that Frank was having anal sex with a stewardess, and then you would watch the show. That was a pretty random memory I just have. I don't know why that just popped up in my mind, but.
But yet I knew exactly what you were talking about. That was when you could have a good, celebrity scandal that literally would shut down people. And now they apologize publicly. They seek help and rehab for their problem. And then they suddenly reintroduce themselves into society as a better human being.
Yeah.
Yet somehow I fuck a fleshlight once and society will never live it down.
You cannot run for office now. Olivia de Havilland, star of Gone with the Wind, passing away at 104. We kind of ignored that because no one could get from her on the death pool.
Was she the main character in Gone with the Wind?
She was not, no.
Who was she?
She was someone. I mean, I sent you the article.
I didn't read it. I saw that movie once, and I thought it was good, but I didn't think that it was like best movie of all time.
It was okay. Bill Montgomery, co-founder of Turning Point USA, dead at the age of 80. Funny story, Turning Point USA, their Facebook page had posted a lot of anti-mask memes over the past few weeks, deleted them all after one of their co-founders died of the COVID. Life comes at you fast, folks. Sometimes you got to make those adjustments.
I'm going to say this, and I really don't care what happens as a result. No, that's not true. I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to lose my white privilege. But I swear to God, and we said this months ago, we were like, when this thing erupts in the mostly Republican states, and it's suddenly the Republican people who are going to start dropping dead because they did not believe that the coronavirus was anything dangerous, something to change their behavior on, something that should prevent them from going inside of bars and churches and restaurants and not social distance and not wear a mask. I remember saying that I hope these people die.
Yeah.
And it feels like looking at a map of America, if you go to COVIDActNow.org, if you look at America, sure as shit looks like a lot of Republicans are dropping dead. Ideally, and I'm not saying this is going to do anything, we do have a general election coming up in November.
Possibly. We'll see. Just real quick to point out comment from one of our listeners out there, Mass Sanity, saying, Brian, you don't want to lose your job like anyone else you may know. I respect the fact that our listeners are now making fun of my underemployment.
That's fucking awesome.
I can't even be mad at it, without a doubt. All right. John Saxon, character actor, passed away at
the age of
83.
This one hurt.
Yeah. He was with Bruce Lee in Enter the Dragon. He appeared in three of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, appeared opposite Marlon Brando in The Appaloosa, was on Dynasty. That was a show. Good Lord, back in the 80s. So he passed away at the age of 83 from pneumonia, I believe.
Mm. Or as we like to call it, pneumonia.
Also, this was a tough one. Malik Abdul-Basit, a rapper better known as Malik B., one of the founding members of The Roots, passing away at the young age of 47. I haven't heard anything yet about cause of death there, but that one hurt.
Yeah, that one was bad. That was bad. He's just too young. Too young.
Yeah, without a question. If I can point out some of the comments that are currently trashing Brian, listener Jocelyn says, maybe you should have put Flyover State Republicans in your death pool, to which Math Sanity responded, Brian still wouldn't get any points. Mass Sanity with the zingers here tonight. Brian still at 0 points in the round.
I'd just like to point out there is a global pandemic. 150,000 Americans have died unnecessarily in the past 5 months, and I have not been able to pick one of them correctly.
Fucking
God damn it. You know I'm going to end this year with 0 points.
And this was shocking that no one had him in the death pool. But yes, We talked about it at the beginning of the show. Former presidential candidate Herman Cain dies from the coronavirus. It is not confirmed that he got it at the Trump Tulsa rally, but he did come down with the COVID, I think, 10 days after he was photographed attending that rally without a mask in a group of people. He was in a high-risk category. Not only, you know, was he 74, but he was a cancer survivor.
Good. Glad he died.
He was
Godfather pizza is crap.
He was hospitalized. And
Herman Cain is fucking dead. Did you need some Herman Cain just dropped dead. His Godfather pizza was shit. Karma's a fucking bitch.
So, yeah, I mean, listen, people, they want to go to events. They don't want to wear masks. They don't want to, you know, say that COVID's a danger. And then they die from it.
And die. Please die. If you're going to die, please die between now and the next 97 days, because we have a fucking general election for the president of the United States on November 3rd, possibly 4th, depending on what time zone you're located in. And if you want to vote for Joe Biden, I say, please go out and vote. If you want to vote for Donald Trump, I'm going to say, please go to a red state. Please go inside of a bar. Do not wear a mask. Get within 6 feet of absolute total strangers, and just party your ass off. Have a great time, because we're going to have some fun come November. Are you ready, Ron? Are you ready for your lightning round?
Well, almost, but this is a listener comment that does work well with the Aqualung riff. Brian fucks a flashlight. All right. You wanted to go with the lightning round. And I feel I think this is a good time to go lightning round. We hadn't done one in a while. You felt even though you're busy working, unlike some of us, that you had time to put some questions together.
It's not as good when you slam yourself.
I know.
Which is why you want to take
that power from you.
But it's not as good when you do it. But I mean, it's just like a fleshlight. It's never as good when you have to do it yourself.
Understood. All right.
Are you ready?
Let's go with the lightning round. Hit me.
Prediction for Joe Biden's VP nominee.
That is a good one. I'm going to go Susan Rice.
White chocolate, yes or no?
If nothing else is available, yes.
Trash. I thought you were bougie. Department of Homeland Security forces in Portland.
Yeah, what about them?
What are your thoughts about it? Lightning round.
Unconstitutional.
Worst sexual memory.
Worst sexual memory?
Yes.
Worst.
I didn't say these were going to be all softballs.
Worst sexual memory.
You can't have a lightning round and then have to think about it.
You know, I was gonna score with this girl in college, and then her friend got upset with a friend of mine, and she took her home. Like, that was her ride. And like, I was close to sealing the deal, and her friend needed a ride home, and that just kind of squashed it.
I can do that. Favorite kitchen appliance?
Oh, my sous vide machine, without a doubt.
I didn't know about that. What turns you on?
What turns me on? Just happiness, Brian. Positivity.
I like that. Salted butter or unsalted butter?
I mean, unsalted, because you want to be able to control your level of salt yourself.
Interesting. Favorite Backstreet Boys album?
I couldn't even give you the title of, I guess, Backstreet Boys, the self-titled.
Wrong. 1999's Millennium, front to back, nothing but bangers.
But hits.
Biggest regret in life?
Biggest regret in life, the time that we fell out of touch.
Okay. God damn you. I love you.
Love you more.
Damn it. Thoughts on the word entanglement to describe an emotional sexual relationship outside of a marriage?
I feel it's one of it's a word that a crisis management consultant came up with for you to use.
All right. Last one right here. What last is the one? Thing about last one? Question. What is the thing about Brian that bothers you the most?
What is the thing about Brian that bothers me the most? Interesting. That is an interesting question. I would love to throw this out to the listeners as well and see what their responses would be.
Why don't we do that? Why don't we give them 2 minutes in the group chat right now? And I say and this just tells you how fucked up of a brain I have that I actually want the abuse. But they have to be legit. They've got to be legit. They can't just be people just throwing out insults. Like if someone says that I'm a premature ejaculator, like no. They have to be truthful, fact-based insults.
You know, there's not too much about you that bothers me, and I think that's probably why we get along so well. I think your lack, if there was one thing you need to be more confrontational at times. You need to, when something's bothering you, you need to be able to come out and say it.
Are you referring to my two marriages, or are you referring to the fact that I have not called the IRS or the New York State Department of Taxation and Finance?
I'm just saying in general.
Okay. No. That is a legit, that's a legitimate issue for me.
Oh, here's one. He interrupts all the time. All right. I'll give you that much. Although I can interrupt you more than you interrupt me, which is interesting.
Yeah, no. That's a legit one. that's a legit one. All right.
The other Brian that listens has an issue with you having the same fucking first name. There can be only one Brian. Okay. Oh, he cancels plans. That is something that he does.
Wow.
To the last minute, I guess, is another one.
That would hurt. That last one hurt.
Floppy drunk. Oof.
Oh, Jesus. I didn't know. I regret this bitch. I am a sloppy drunk.
Let's see here. Punches people in the balls at my wedding. That is wild.
I did do that. I did punch somebody in the balls at his wedding. I did do that. It's a fact.
Inappropriate.
It was a thing at the time that I wasn't really participating within a group of friends. Okay. So I decided in the middle of a wedding reception that I was going to hit somebody in the balls and did not go over very well.
What about never inviting anyone anywhere?
That's actually not true. What really? I do is no. I invite people to things, but I invite them because I want to spend time with them.
Okay.
Then what I'll do is set up another event or meal or whatnot with the next person.
Okay.
I don't combine my social groups together very well. Like if you were to come down to the city, if you were to come up to the city, say we were going to go to Coney Island and have beers at Coney Island Brewery.
Yeah.
I wouldn't invite 4 other people.
Okay. Why would you not do that though?
Because I see it as you're coming up and I want to get as much time with you and have like that connection with you. Then I would like the person that I might have invited, I will set up a time to hang out with them. And then I want to give them my undivided attention and I want to get theirs. I think that's where you really like have those true connections with people as opposed to a group of 20 or whatnot. Okay. So that one I think is false.
But I think maybe you need to look at it differently. Like I understand what you're saying. You want to give people individual attention, but maybe you can increase your circle of friends and you would find that everybody gets along and you can have group get-togethers where everybody has a good time.
Yeah, but it would weird me out if those people started getting along.
So maybe you're worried that your friends would become friends with each other and then maybe you would get cut out at the last minute.
No, I don't think so.
All right.
I'm an introvert. I'm a homebody. I'd be perfectly fine if 2 of my friends were like, hey, we're doing something over here without you. I'd be like, fine, great. I'm going to sit at home and watch TV.
Let's see here. He chooses the better option and flakes on the second choice. Valid or no?
I don't think that's necessarily true. I think that what I do is I refuse to commit. I make a vague, okay, maybe. And then at the last minute, if I will choose to think, but I will not say yes, let's definitely do something and then just flake on the person. And that's fucked up because I flaked on you once to do something with that person.
Here's a good one. You always get hurt, which I have witnessed. I mean, you came down to Philadelphia and yes. got injured. I mean, there was drinking involved, but the sidewalks of Philadelphia really knocked you off, literally knocked you off your feet.
I am accident prone. I am accident prone. Yes.
Well, this turned out to be a very.
We're still coming. The insults are still coming.
This is a great one. He has, quote, refused to commit and, quote, forgotten about plans. I mean, I'll go with the refuse to commit. I have seen that personally.
Okay, this is another one. And I'm surprised nobody has put this up there. I have a bad memory. So if I say, oh, yeah, let's do something on this day, and I don't put that on my calendar, it will fly off to I don't give a shit island and relocate permanently, and I will completely forget that I have said yes to that item.
Speaking of calendar, someone mentions a beer fest where you forgot to look at your calendar and you were double booked for the Misfits concert.
That was the Misfits in Madison Square Garden with Rancid and the Damned opening up, which is way more important than a beer festival. Speaking of beer festivals, I would like to thank the kind folks at Broken Goblet.
It's a sweet t-shirt.
For knocking out their coronavirus Gobblestock 6 t-shirt, which if you were to look at the back of it, you will see I have sweated through.
Let's see here. Canceled a virtual happy hour for a barbecue. I do recall that. And two people talking about you sleeping during a road trip.
There's something about having the seatbelt on and the rockiness of the road that literally puts me to sleep, regardless of my alcohol intake.
All right. Fair enough. Now listen, we're not here to judge. We're just here to demean.
And I feel it.
All right. Anything else this week, my friend?
I love you.
I love you more. We are going to slip on over to the Patreon. Again, if you want to join the Patreon, go to ronandbrianpodcast.com in the upper right-hand corner. In the meantime, those of you that have already subscribed, we are going to go on over and record the After Dark video and audio, so you will have that tomorrow. But thank you all for joining us this week.